This episode of Spit and Chicklets is brought to you by BetDSI.com. It's that time of year. The NHL playoffs are here once again, and betting is the best time of year for us hockey gamblers. Puck lines, live action, live lines, all the great bells and whistles that us degenerate hockey gamblers like, well, BetDSI has them all for us. BetDSI has got over 20 years in the business. They're a top-rated business on all the sportsbook review sites. Fantastic mobile product that's easy to use from anywhere. Again, live in-game wagering, which is one of my favorites. You can bet the game during the game. After a first period, second period, you like the way a team's going or not going, want to throw something the other way, boom, there you go. They got great customer service available 24/7, 365 days a year. They built their reputation on fast payment of winning, so when you do cha-ching for a nice little empty net goal to pay out a puck line, boom, you get the money nice and quick. No BS. Free $25 just to try the service. Just for registering, you're going to get a free $25 with a 200% bonus on your first deposit. So log on to BetDSI.com with the promo code SPIT200. Again, go to BetDSI.com, the promo code SPIT200. Start gaming on the NHL playoffs today and win some dough. This episode is also brought to you by the goons at Spit and Chicklets on Barstool Sports. Let everybody out there know you're gassing beers and chucking nuts and supporting our show by rocking our official gear. Go to BarstoolSports.com/chicklets and get your official Spit and Chicklets gear. We have t-shirts in black and gold, red, white, and blue, and Philly orange and black. Several more on the way, but those are what we have now. We also have the Spit and Chicklets, gassing beers and chucking nuts tank top available, so you can wear that. Nice warm weather coming. You're going to be outside drinking a few beers. We'll show you Spit and Chicklet spirit by wearing the gassing beers and chucking nuts tank top. If you're not a muscle head like myself and you prefer more of a t-shirt, we'll grab one of our world-famous t-shirts in our shop at BarstoolSports.com/chicklets. Load up on your Chicklets gear. Show us that you're a number fan of the number one podcast in North America by loading up on the gear, as you were. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 29 of Spit and Chicklets, brought to you by Barstool Sports. We're here with Brian Whitney.
What up? Number 29,
Producer Mikey Grinnelli.
How are we, boys?
And our recurring guest, Mr. Bissonette, Paul Biznasty Bissonette. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, guys.
Dude, how you feeling after the knee surgery, buddy?
I'm feeling all right. Our team lost out of playoffs yesterday, so I'm a little bummed out.
Fuck, buddy.
Yeah, it's not a good day, not a good start, but hey.
Hey, you know what?
We
could turn it around with Spit and Chicklets. I think first and foremost, the story on everyone's mind and the number one story in hockey right now is the best player in the world going down with a concussion. Sidney Crosby is now out of game four, and going forward, I don't know if we'll see him. What did you guys think? What was your reaction? Biz, we'll start with you. Were you kind of on the board of like Niskanen's a scumbag, what a dirty hit, should be suspended? Or were you on the board of that's kind of a hockey play and, you know, that whole bullshit people are talking about?
Well, I actually had surgery that day, so I kind of woke up to my Twitter kind of blowing up about it. But, after watching it over and over, I can't really say he did it on purpose because it happened so quick. But, I mean, I think the consensus is that he didn't really necessarily avoid the kind of fall through on the cross check when he got him in a vulnerable spot. But I mean, I guess when things like that happen, you have to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and think that he's really not trying to hurt a guy, and especially in real time like that.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just, for me, I watched the play, and first of all, people are talking a lot about the Ovechkin slash.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the play in slow motion, Ovechkin went to kind of chop him in like the midsection. So yeah, you can call a penalty for sure, but it hit his arm and rode up, and then it kind of bounced off Ovechkin and caught him in the head. I don't think that had anything to do with anything. If anything, Ovechkin made an impact by when their left legs kind of collided, their left feet or Ovechkin's right foot maybe, and that's what brought Crosby down. So when he's sliding across, Niskanen is just it's a natural thing. You put your stick up. You put your stick up to protect yourself, and you have no idea really at that point that his head is at your stick level. You haven't really the play happened so quick. Replay makes it look way worse, but in terms of a suspension, it's not a suspension. It really isn't. It was a good call. They kicked him out of the game, 5-minute major. But you cannot expect, like, Don Cherry saying 4 to 5 game suspension, dude. Come on.
DOPS already came out and said they're not even looking at it, and I agree. Like, when you're watching slow motion, yeah, you can frame by frame it and it looks bad, but when you watch it in real speed, I mean, there's really nothing he could have done. I mean,
he's flying down the wing.
And again, like, he has no idea Crosby's head is going to be at that level when he puts his stick up to whether protect himself or maybe even give him a one of those kind of, you know, you're kind of trying to keep a guy away from you, give him a little bit of a shot just to, but I mean, to watch it in full speed and to think he, like, intentionally hit him in the head like that, I don't buy it. I mean, the speed of that play was so friggin' fast. And Niskanen, yeah, he's not, I mean, he doesn't have a Matt Cook reputation. I think he might have been suspended years ago, but he doesn't have, like, a bad reputation. He's not, like, a dirty player.
They played together.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they've shown the battles that they had, and that type of stuff is, like, okay, so they fought once when Niskanen was on Dallas? Like, what do you, that has nothing to do with anything. People are reaching, is it misfortunate? What's the word?
Unfortunate.
You know my vocab.
There was misfortune involved, but
unfortunate incident in which you get kicked out of the game. You crush a guy in the head. I don't care how it happens. You get kicked out, 5-minute major. But it was a play that Niskanen, I do not think he had intent at any point to hurt Crosby.
Oh no, I think any time something like that happens, somebody has to be to blame for it. And I think we're in a case here where, you know, there's a lot of frustration on the Penguins side. And hey, I'm a Crosby fan too. Like, I don't want to. I feel like when he's out, it's like when Tiger's not in golf. Know. You know.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's
the one comparison.
That's the other thing too, is that the whole Crosby concussion factor. And I mean, I saw right away, I'm like, hey, he's definitely conked again. I mean, this is at least his third. Now it's huge. It's a huge thing. Now this is his, you know, future health we're talking about. Now it's not like, oh, let's get him back for the next game or the next series. It's about, okay, is this guy gonna play hockey again? I mean, he took a good wallop, and as we know, each concussion is worse than the previous one, and you know, you're more likely to get one. So it's, as a hockey fan, a fan of the sport, it's disheartening to see. I know Crosby's a lightning rod, and you know, a lot of people who aren't Pittsburgh fans tend not to like the guy, but if you're a fan of the sport, man, this is disheartening to see, because you know, we don't know when this guy's going to be back. I'll be surprised if Pittsburgh does move on, which is going to be tough. Now I'll be surprised if we do see him the rest of the playoffs, to be honest with you.
It's such a crazy game in the fact that Washington, so Pittsburgh goes into Washington, they win both games. Crosby, by the way, was probably playing the best hockey of his career. I know people say that constantly, but he was it was sick.
The last year of his life has been dialed in.
Yeah, it really has been, like, since that rough start, you know, at the beginning of the year before, it was like, since then, it's just been a complete, it's just domination. So they go into Washington, they win the first two games, and you're like, this fucking Capitals team stinks. Like, what a bunch of pretenders. This was their year, and they lose both at home. The second game, they get worked. And then, you know, you go to game three, Pittsburgh's at home. Yeah. Crosby's driving the net with a chance to score, and it was 0-0 at the time when that hit happened, right? I'm pretty sure it was. So he has the chance to score, make it 1-0.
I think so.
He misses, gets cross-checked. God knows when he's going to come back. Hopefully it's this season. If not, hopefully it's next season. We just want to see him play again. Washington goes on to win. So it's like they were a very close to going down 1-0 in game three. Washington, instead, they're right back in it, and the best player in the world is out of the series. It's just crazy how things switch.
Which obviously adds to all the drama involved, because, you know, it's just like the whole scenario that you just laid out. People are thinking that's why it's intentional. That's the only way they can beat them. So there just seems to be a lot of drama involved. And, you know, either way, it's just not good. I'm hoping to see vintage Malkin.
That is what we could now see.
Well, one thing.
09 Malkin.
The Penguins, certainly the last period for sure, they were playing like a team that knew Crosby wasn't going to be back. You know, certainly not that game, and probably the next couple games, because they were going balls to the wall to try to get that 3-0 lead, because they know we need as much of a lead as we can now if we're not going to have our captain. And didn't work out for them. And if you were betting the Caps the other night, it was quite the roller coaster ride.
So, which I did.
Who else did they lose?
Oh, well, that's another thing we meant to bring
who
up.
Who else did they lose?
Sheary.
I saw that someone said they were playing with 10 forwards.
Well, so Sheary. And so in a night when Crosby gets injured, right, like you're not going to mention Connor Sheary, but he's out. That's a huge loss for the Penguins. And the weirdest thing about that play was Hornquist was the one who hit him. He went to light up. I don't even know who it was. It was a defenseman in Washington. He went to try to light him up and missed him. The guy moved right out of the way and buried Sheary, who also has a concussion. So you look at like two, I mean, one amazing forward, jeez, and then this other guy who's played great. And now it's like Washington down 2-0. And if you would have, by the way, so when Washington went down 0-2 in the series, they were plus 390 to win the series. I bet you right now they're maybe. Plus 120.
Yeah, it's probably a lot closer price. I haven't even checked.
It almost seems like they're like the favorites to win this series now.
How can they not?
I know, but how can they not?
If they win tonight,
they're winning the series. Then if they win tonight, I think. So, but you look at Washington, and so on the other side of Pittsburgh's injuries and what they're battling through, they don't even have Letang. You know that's been forgotten because he hasn't played in such a long time. But you go to Washington, who has all these guys healthy. It's something about their team is just like, I don't know what it is. Ovechkin, one of the best in the world, one of the best of all time, and he just hasn't, I haven't noticed him making a huge difference in this series or even in the playoffs so far. I think Oshie's played really well. A guy like Kevin Shattenkirk was not playing great as well as he could play, and then he scores that huge goal. So it just seems like the momentum's completely switched, and going forward, I don't know what's going to happen. But
was Williams there last year?
Yeah, he was. He was. I mean, he's been... That guy... How much of a gamer is that guy, by the way? Justin Williams.
He's a big game. Big game player.
Biz, you said it best to me earlier that he really is playing with the house's money. It's like he's been so good in so many big games that at this point, he's like, well, if I don't score, people are going to just say, oh, that guy's amazing. It doesn't matter. Like, you can't go back now and say Justin Williams isn't a big game player and has done it at the biggest stage of his entire life. So he's so comfortable, he just knows he's going to get big goals and points. Like, he's been Washington's best forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd be like, I mean, I kind of feel like it's like the Crosby thing. Like once he got the one cup, like now the next one came, like, I wouldn't say easier, but like now it's like, okay, well, he's conquered that, you know, there's no pressure on him. Whereas like, for instance, Ovechkin, there's a lot of pressure on him because he hasn't won that cup, right? So, you know, he feels that.
Yeah. In terms of like mental strength, I don't know if you guys saw Holtby's quote. I was really interested by this. He struggled in the first two games, and one of the things he said was that he talked to his sports psychologist in Edmonton, and it made such a huge difference. And it's like people don't really realize, like, you work out all your skills, you work out in the gym for all your muscles, and like people just sometimes don't even think about how important like working out your mind is. And so it sounds funny that like a sports psychologist, like people will say, oh, that's stupid, what's that going to do? But you could tell just refocusing and then like basically going back to little things that I'm sure he's talked about with this guy before, and you see how good he was in game three. It's like, have you ever used a sports psychologist that had any examples of that really kind of helping your game?
Who, me?
Yeah, guy. You.
Earlier on when I'm playing under 17, I think actually it was at under 18 camp, and I think his name was Paul Henry. I don't know if you know who that is, but
oh,
no, he
Paul
just
kind
of like helped with that side of it. Wasn't the Holtby quote that they said, he said it was a pretty, like, the biggest game of his life, and then his sports psychologist said, yeah, but the puck doesn't know that or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the quote?
Exactly. Something like that may sound corny, but, like, when you're in the heat of a playoff series, you don't know. You can't really...
You
hear things like that and not playing as a fan. You're like, no shit, the puck doesn't know, dude. It's rubber.
But it's just kind of like a funny thing as a goalie to hear where you're like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's just, like, going to bounce the same way. It's just, you know, you prepare the same way you have all year in your whole life. And, I mean, you know, he's preparing the right way.
Now, I know Marchand used a sports psychologist a few years back, and he said it helped him a lot. And I would think with a goalie, it's probably even a maybe better use or maybe a bigger deal because goalie is such a mental aspect. I mean, you obviously hockey, you need to be emotionally engaged. If you know, you have to be skating, you have to be physically involved, you're constantly moving. But the goaltender is such more of a mental aspect. You just have to be the mental approach is such a big part of that position. And yeah, I think talking to a guy who's especially not in the game, who's kind of removed from it, I could see how that might work with a goalie. They're fucking bananas anyway.
Well, that's generally. Go ahead, Biz. Go ahead.
Well, just a good example of that. So Peter Budaj was our
Flanders
goalie. What's that?
Flanders.
Yeah, yeah. He was our our starting goalie in Ontario to not this season, last season. And, you know, he was a little tired. We used to give him a few days off because he was playing so many games. And then when he got up to the Kings this year and Quick went down, I saw him at the team golf tournament where it was combined with the AHL and NHL guys. And I was just talking to him. He's like, man, he goes, just like the daily grind of being the starter at the NHL level. Because, like, you're playing every other day, too. Just, like, the mental aspect of it. He said he was, like, so exhausted. He said he couldn't wait for Christmas break just to get, like, a few days off.
Yeah.
That's just kind of coming from a guy who experienced it firsthand.
Did they make the AHL guys caddy for the NHL guys at that tournament?
No, we played at, like, the peasant course. We played at, like, the mini putt course, and they got to play at the nice course.
They're playing at Riviera, and you guys are down the road with, like, the cheaper sponsors at a mini golf.
At Cracker Jack, yeah. with the batting cages.
Biz, did you happen to see the play last Tuesday night, the Predators, when Edmondson buried Subban? I knew you had surgery yesterday, but he got buried near the boards, between the red and blue lines. And they called Subban for an embellishment. Did you happen to see that? And if so, what did you think of that embellishment call?
I thought it was a bad call in that play. But just from reading online, like, because, you know, I just kind of follow Twitter through the games and see what all the drama is going on. But apparently he tried to sell a few calls earlier on. I don't know. I wasn't watching the game. So, but, I mean, yeah, I feel like the guy takes a lot of flack. That Subban, and everything he does is just kind of, you know, in the microscope.
I agree. He's a magnet. And I was saying to Ryan before we started recording that I've been I tweet frequently during the playoffs. I'll call a shitty penalty or a good call or whatever. I got probably 10 times more reaction tweeting about the Subban embellishment hit than I did any other play this playoffs. He is a magnet. If it's personality or whatever other factors, but he definitely draws a response, very heated replies, very emotional. But you know, the guy, I mean, he got fucking buried. He got hit high and he covered up his head. I mean, he got a right to protect himself. And, like, you know, other people say, well, he embellished earlier in the game. I says, well, how would you like to get pulled over going fucking 40 miles an hour? And the cop said, well, you sped 16 times in your life and I'm getting you now. That's not how it works.
Yeah, exactly. You know? No, it was a horrible call. And then with all, like, the dancing stuff he got made fun of for by Milbury, where, I mean, like Brent Burns does that every game and nobody once mentioned it, and then all of a sudden he does it and it's, you know,
right.
You got to hear about it from Milbury.
Right. That's another thing too. I don't know if you saw it, Witz. He was pregame Subban warming up. There was a song on. He's bobbing his head. He's kind of, you know, moving around, vibing to it, playing with the pucks. And, you know, Milbury says he looks like a clown out there. And I'm like,
dude, shut up.
Like, shut the fuck. Like, you just sound like an old cranky motherfucker. Like, what is, like you just said, Brent Burns does it the same thing. Plenty of guys are out there, you know, shimmying and doing whatever and having fun. Like, how the fuck is that distracting his teammates out there? Honestly.
It's not. That's like, I'm not the
type of guy to dance around because I'm more worried about getting my face bashed in. And I'm not actually having a good time out there. But hey, man, if I was like a skill guy and hockey was fun to me, yeah, I'd be dancing out there too.
Did you see the Rangers in the Rangers pregame? I don't know what players they were. I saw
the gift. They were playing football.
Yeah, they were playing football. Like, one of them, like, pretended he was a quarterback, took the puck. One Ranger hiked the puck to another Ranger. Another guy went deep. Like, he threw, like, if that's not more fucking around than standing in place dancing, I don't know what is. So, you know, why the double standard? I mean, fucking call it all out, you know?
Sometimes my imagination gets going. So have you seen, like, a lot now that, like, the guys will bring their kids down to the glass and stuff?
Yeah, they all, like, take the picture pregame, like, with the kid and his dad holding hands through the glass.
It's like, it seems like every guy's doing it. It's getting, like, a little ridiculous, which, like, I thought it would be fun to do, like an SNL skit type where, like, like, they do, like, one guy, like, taking a picture with his kid, and, like, the next thing, like, the guy's changing the kid's diaper in the merry-go-round line, like, before they do, like, the two-on-ones.
Or the guy's...
And then, like, the... Go ahead.
No, or the guy's, like, side piece comes down with their kid, and then both kids giving him a double high-five.
Like, the kid's, like, pissing over his shoulder, and it's, like, hitting the guys in line.
Or if a girl got knocked up by the wrong person and brought the kid to the game.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Hey, or he goes and does, like, a lap with it, like, in one of those harnesses around its chest.
Baby Bjorn.
Dude, I
you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. You know, you just, like, would drag it out, like, Family Guy style.
Like when he's fighting the chicken and he just literally fights the chicken the entire episode.
Yeah, he's got like shit on his face and he's like going around like doing a 2-on-1 because he changed the kid's diaper.
And then he's dancing in warm-ups and Milbury's charming him. But when it comes to like people say all the time, like, oh, Milbury said this. Like, I got buddies who, you know, they watch all the playoff games and Milbury's on, I feel like, every night. I'm like, dude, just, yeah. It's, at this point, it's like, just, whatever he says, dude, who gives a fuck? Like, he's solely doing it, like, to have this persona of, like, the grumpy old Mike Milbury, the GM who hates fun and hates the new age. Like, the guy
I wonder if he's kind of, I don't want to give him too much credit. I don't wonder if he's smart about it, though. Like where he wants to be, like the Stephen A, where he comes out of left field and he has these crazy takes where you're getting so much like reaction where people just want to fuck you the television because he's saying what he's saying. But
they're also watching him. But they're also watching. Exactly. Exactly.
It's, you know, it's like every show like that is on that, like on these ESPN now is like that.
I think it's genuine. I think he's just like an older guy, an old school guy. And the fact is what he's saying is what was accepted 25 years ago, that was the norm. It was the way things were in the game and society, whatever. So he just, like a lot of older guys, he hasn't really changed or adapted, and that's fine. He doesn't have to.
Adapted.
He just, you know, and he has views that kind of on us maybe haven't progressed along with maybe others. So I actually like Milbury. I like sometimes what he does, but when that's, you know, when you're calling out a guy for dancing before a game, calling him a clown, I don't really agree with that, but I think he represents kind of the old guy sort of National Hockey League way of thinking.
Yeah, there's so many other things to worry about than worried about a guy dancing in pregame warm-ups.
Dude, if a guy plays good, if a guy has to get ready a certain way and every time he's playing well, I don't care if I'm a coach and he's cranking it and that's his warm-up in the bathroom stall. Like, if that's how you get ready for games, dude, just get... I don't care what you do to get ready for games at all. As long as you're ready. You saw the Guy Boucher came out and said, Eric Carlson's the first player I've ever seen that literally doesn't need to practice. He goes, he doesn't need to practice. I know that sounds weird as a coach, but every game he's amazing and he doesn't really practice. He doesn't need to. So in that case, who cares?
Yeah.
When people bring up what people do before games and stuff, as long as they're playing good. Yeah. If someone's playing bad, all right, you might want to change it up. But if people are playing good, I don't care fuck what they do.
Robin Ralph.
As a coach, too, you're just like, man, like, leave the guy alone. Let him do his thing.
Yeah, like, keep playing well, dude, and keep doing whatever you want. I don't care.
Robin went out before a game. Cannot be good for the legs, though. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Maybe, dude. Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, women weaken legs.
Some guys do it.
Hands don't, though.
I played with some kids that used to do that.
That's crazy, dude. I got an OTPHJ before a JV hoop game once and had the worst game of my life. So
JV?
Yeah, right. Anyways, we got an interesting email from one of our followers pertaining to you, Mr. Biz. We cleared it with you first to tell the story. So, Grinnelli, take it away.
Wait, what email? What email?
Oh, this is the text?
The text.
Oh, okay. Biz, so my buddy says...
I need to hear this.
Like a month and a half ago, shoots me a text and says, out of the blue, and this is a kid I went to high school with, you know, I haven't really talked to him much in a few years, texts me out of the blue and says, true story, sophomore year of college, at Country Fest, where, and this kid looks exactly like you, and he says, at Country
Big
Fest...
Big snout.
Oh, yeah. At Country Fest, wearing a denim vest and jorts with a Jays hat on, chick ran up to me and goes, are you Biz Nasty? I looked at her and said, oh, yeah, babe. Turned on the fake Canadian accent, hooked up with her the whole concert, and then she blew me in a porta potty.
Biz, you legend. You got this kid some gnome.
I know. Dude, he told me that story the other day, and I don't think I've ever been more proud, like as corny and cheesy as that sounds, but like I was like, I'm so happy, you know? Because, you know, I'm
in a porta potty. That girl's a fucking class act. That's unreal.
9 months later, she was banging on the glass at a fucking game, but you were playing at Biz with her baby there.
Oh, God. That's probably those emails I got.
All the happy Father's Day cards you get every year.
Have you been watching the Nashville St. Louis series at all, Biz?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, how about, I mean...
I didn't see what went on yesterday. There was a bad penalty called, apparently.
Well, I mean,
the first thing about Nashville is that RA has money on them to win the cup. They, like, realistically could win the cup at this point. Their defense...
They look really good.
Ekholm, Ellis, Subban, and Josi is the best top four in hockey.
It's got to be.
Yeah, and they're clicking right now. They're all on top of the game. Ellis is on fire.
Dude, I didn't know much about Ellis before this year. I know we've talked about him a lot because of what he's done. Right now, he would probably win the Conn Smythe. If right now you're going on MVPs in the playoffs, maybe Pekka, who has, I think, what is he, 7-1? Yeah. But just that team is, and I love that they keep winning, and you just get to see more Carrie Underwood in the stands. I love seeing Carrie Underwood in the stands.
Yeah, it's just growing the game, and yeah, they're just killing it right now. It's hard. I think that Anaheim would give him more problems than Edmonton would, but that's just me.
Same here. I think Anaheim would, I would pick them to beat Nashville, but I think Nashville would beat Edmonton. But going to that Anaheim Edmonton series, one of the coolest plays of this season I saw was in Game 3.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys saw it. I don't know if you guys saw the line change play that Anaheim did to score their first goal the other night in Game 3. It was unreal. They won the faceoff back.
Getzy's pass.
Yeah, they're in the defensive zone. Cogliano sprints straight to the bench, and he changes on the closest end to the goalie where the D are. At the same time, Raquel, he comes bombing off the forwards end of the bench behind the Edmonton D. Getzlaff throws a 110-foot rocket pass on his stick, buries it, breakaway, and they're up 1-0. And it was like, what a cool play. And it's actually the fact that Randy Carlyle is the one who probably designed it makes me a little bitter, but that was awesome. That was really, really, like, that's some awesome hockey to see. And that was another game. I bet on Anaheim that night because I'm like, there's no way they're going. I just couldn't see them going down 3-0.
Wait, when you say you bet, like, you mean you just, like, you legit bet or you just, like, say you bet?
No, I legit bet. I actually hammered him. I actually, like, laid the wood to him.
We tell no lies on this podcast.
This is a truth podcast, you know?
I just didn't know, because if you work with the NHL Network, if that's legal or anything.
Maybe now it isn't. This could have just really hosed me, but I've been bringing it up since we started this podcast, episode 29. That's why the people at NHL Network are like, God, he's into that tying goal late in that Colorado-Carolina game.
That Ryan really loves the overtimes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Why was he screaming? Why was he screaming when the team made it 5-4 when they were already up? You know, they were down 5-3. Yeah. Like, they just still lost. Yeah. Oh, because I had the puck line. But, I mean, looking at that series, I think that, you know, I was interested to see, I don't know what you think, Biz, Todd McClellan was a little, for my taste, open in terms of kind of giving it to McDavid after that game to the media. He mentioned when Connor checks and plays really well defensively, his offense is even better. And this game, he didn't. And he really didn't. There was a couple flyby plays he had. He was on the ice for three even strength goals against. But what do you think about a coach in terms of Crosby, McDavid, Ovechkin? Actually, you know, you want to talk to him in the locker room, that's fine. But do you agree with them kind of going to the media in terms of, like, going after the superstar on the team? I just don't.
Yeah, I don't think that was super aggressive, but I think that McDavid's the type of guy where it's going to wake him up. He's not going to just pout and sulk. So, I, you know, sometimes it's good. Yeah. I mean, McClellan knows what he's doing. He's a very good coach, and you know, I'm sure he knows how to push his guys' buttons.
Okay, so in terms of a very good coach, I just immediately remember this. I know we're in the middle of the Anaheim series, but can you tell me this Babcock story you won't tell me? You've said I have to save it for the podcast, so coaching reminded me. I need that one.
So when I first came on the podcast, I was in the process of selling my house in Scottsdale. So my realtor is one of my best friend's brothers who used to play hockey, and he just retired. He finished his career over in Germany, but he was bouncing around the A a little bit. He was mostly in the coast. I think he was a fourth rounder. He got a decent signing bonus with Nashville. That's who he was drafted with and signed by. And it never really panned out. So he heard me on Spit and Chicklets, and I was like, oh yeah, did you hear the Commodore one when he was, you know, ripping on Babcock? And, you know, he's like, oh, he goes, I haven't told you my Babcock story. So I was like, oh God. I was like, no.
Oh, I love this. I don't even know where this is going. I love it.
Yeah. So let's go back a little bit. Commodore is convinced that Babcock basically had him signed in Detroit
to bury
to healthy
him.
Scratch him and sewer him for a whole year.
Yep.
Which a lot of people who listen to this probably think he's delusional. And And, you know, everyone's probably always like, oh, you know, maybe he wasn't playing well. There could be other factors. Now, I'll say this. After hearing this story, there is very well a possibility that Mike Babcock did, in fact, have this guy signed just to throw him under the bus for a full season.
Oh, my so, God. What I guess I'll start off this kid?
I've never had an issue with Mike Babcock. He's always been nice to me. I guess his kid liked my Twitter. He asked me for a picture one time. So I've never had an issue with Babcock.
So humble brag.
Here's the start of the story. So he's playing. He was up for 15 games with the Cincinnati Ducks the year of the lockout. Now, this guy basically had a cup of coffee in the American League. So he was playing decent in his first 14 games. His 15th game was when Cincinnati, they traveled to, I think it was called the Arrowhead. What's the old Duck Stadium?
The Pond, yeah.
Yeah, the Pond.
Yeah. Same place,
so
yeah.
They were playing against the Grand Rapids Griffins, who was Detroit's farm team at the time, during the lockout year, just to kind of do like a promotional game in Anaheim because there was no hockey going on. So Babcock is the head coach of the Anaheim Ducks at this time, so he's going to go watch the guys. So Sean O'Connor, my buddy, who he's a plug, he's on the bench taping his stick before the game. He's excited. He's playing in an NHL rink. So he's taping his stick on the bench, and Babcock walks out, and he's looking straight ahead. He doesn't even look at my buddy Sean. So he kind of starts like grazing around the arena, looking around. And then he goes to my buddy Sean. He goes, "Pretty nice rink, eh?" And my buddy kind of like nervously, he's like, yeah, it's amazing. You know, I'm super pumped to play.
And he's not looking at him, goes, sorry? He's not even looking at him?
Still hasn't even looked at him. He never did. He never did look at him.
Okay.
So when Sean answers back, yeah, it's, you know, it's amazing, he goes, yeah, I will enjoy it because this will be the last time you ever play a game in an NHL arena. And then he walked back down the hallway and I have the text right here. I said, how did you play after that? And he was like, -2. He had 2 penalties. He went to hit a defenseman, went over the bench. He went out. Cronwall was his point man. Cronwall pump faked him. He slid. Cronwall walked around and went bar down. He said he had the worst game of his life, and then that was it. That was the rest of his AHL career. He never played another AHL game.
Oh, my God. That was the last AHL game of his career after Babcock said, you will never sniff an NHL arena again.
they flew back the next day, and I think he said he had to go on the ice and skate with, like, the other guys who, like, didn't play or whatever, and then he was sent down the next day. Oh. And then even – so back then they used to dress an extra forward, he told me, in the American League. Was there, like, 13 forwards he used to dress?
Yeah.
So he played in San Antonio for like the year before that. And he said in the 50 games he played in San Antonio, he might have had like 80 shifts. And one game, like, he was like a scrappy guy, not tough, but he would do it. And before the game, one game, he was like joshing with that, with Thornton.
Oh, yeah.
What's his first name? The one who was in Boston.
Sean
Thornton. He's joshing with them. They go out. They sing the anthem, and while the anthem's being sung, the head coach looks at him and goes, "What the fuck are you doing on the bench?" And then he looks at the assistant. The assistant forgot to tell him he wasn't playing. So after the anthem was done, he had to skate across the ice and like basically was like embarrassed by the whole arena. But luckily, he didn't have to fight Thornton. And then I guess Thornton caved at Grant McNeil's face in that game, and he was like, "Oh, dodged a bullet."
Dude, Sean Thornton, one of the sickest stats ever. Only guy to play 600 AHL games and over 600 NHL games. Because if you're down in the minors for 600 games, like, there is no part of your brain that thinks you'll ever reach 100 NHL games, let alone 600.
It's crazy.
So that career has been amazing.
He's got 2 cups, too.
What a fucking dick, man. What a fucking dick. You know, like to go up to a kid.
But I don't... I mean, I'm sure he would deny that, but fuck, is that bad?
Like yeah, his kid.
And we suck, so we're able to laugh about it. And, like, you know, he doesn't take himself seriously, but that's a ballsy thing to say.
Oh, that's just completely, like, burying a kid who's probably as fired up for a game as he's ever been.
Fucking garbage
move. Oh, yeah.
I love that they were trying to, like, you know, make sure hockey wasn't forgotten, bringing the Grand Rapids Griffins versus the Cincinnati Ducks in Edmonton. There must have been... I'm going to say 800 people at that game.
Yeah, I don't know. He said he had a rough night, though. He said he was just a mental midget after Babcock said that to him. He said he couldn't recover.
Oh, that is getting sued. I actually, you'll like this story. Do you know Ned Haven, right? My buddy Ned Haven's.
Yeah,
Nettie,
I
played with him. Nettie
played hockey at BC, so he's playing in the coast. He gets called up to the Wilkes-Barre Penguins. He's in the AHL. And the head coach of the team he's playing against is, what's his name? He played for BU, and then he coached Colorado. Joe Sacco.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So he's a local guy. He's from Medford.
Bruins assistant.
Yeah, Ned Haven's from Arlington. And somehow the coach of Wilkes-Barre, I think it was Todd Richards at the time, forgot to put his name on the sheet. He was playing fourth line, and like on the lineup sheet. So he gets out there for his first shift. It's a defensive zone faceoff, and this is his first game in the AHL. The ref comes up to him, "Hey Haven, sorry buddy, you got to go." He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Coach didn't put you in on the lineup sheet. So you had to skate by both."
Oh, I was on his team the year that happened. It was in Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, you were there for that? And the guy, and yeah, Joe Sacco, the coach who actually went to the ref, was like, "Hey, that guy's not on the lineup." Like a fourth liner from Boston. You probably know who he is, and you're burying this kid. Like,
yeah, that's... I was playing with him.
Now, just curious.
I was on the fourth line.
If they did let him play, though, would that somehow nullify the game or something? You know,
if
nowadays some fucking nerd on the internet would see it and report it, like, you know, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, who knows? I mean, either way,
I've heard of a guy missing. He never played an NHL game. He got called up, and the coach forgot to write his name down, and he couldn't play. And then he never played another NHL game, so he missed his one opportunity because of that.
Oh my God!
So
Jesus. Yeah,
some fucking kick in the dick.
Dick coach stories, but
I know, that just killed the buzz on the podcast. Sorry, boys.
No, it's all right. No, we're gonna bring it to our final segment here when we take questions from listeners. The All Right Hamilton segment. Wow, we're gonna probably brief.
We gotta find out if this Babcock story is true. I mean, my buddy wouldn't lie to me, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's all we need. That's all we need here.
I bet it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'll bet it is. He would deny it. We'll never find out it's the truth. But you gotta believe the player before the coach. Until maybe.
Hey, did I ever tell you
someday
that they were down? I think they were down 3-0 in a playoff series, and I want to say it was a year we won the Calder Cup, and he called me.
Who?
And Mike Babcock, dude. He asked me to come to his charity golf tournament. When I answered the phone, I was like, "Hello." He's like, "Hey, Paul." He's like, "This is Mike Babcock," and I was like, "Haha, good one." I'm like, "Oni," and I thought it was this guy on our team pulling a prank. So for like a minute, I went back and forth with this guy telling him it wasn't Mac Babcock, and finally, I was like, "Geez," because then his the lady who was running the charity golf tournament actually emailed me, so it was legit. Yeah.
Oh,
but we couldn't go.
Did you go?
Winning the Calder Cup, not a big deal.
Not a big deal. All right, we got any? We got Money Hall, right? Hamilton's?
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't even say one thing about New York, Ottawa, but New York had a big win. So, I mean, that series is really tight. I don't really think whoever wins will win the next round. So somebody tweeted something funny.
Imagine an Anaheim, Ottawa final. It'd be the worst.
Or
final,
Nashville, Ottawa.
We got Anaheim, Ottawa in 07. I'm rooting for Nashville, Ottawa. Then I'm a guaranteed fucking winner. Woo-hoo.
Nashville, Ottawa, and Gary Bettman will be hanging by like the NHL offices in a noose. That would just be horrendous.
Getting booed. Boo.
Yeah.
All right. So first, All Right Hamilton, by request of RA, we have an emails listener that says, "How many games do you think an NHL team could win with Greg Goldman?"
Holy fuck, Greg Goldman. How bad did you want that shutout? Yeah. Shutout.
How many games do you think an NHL team would win if they could play the whole season shorthanded? I think the Vegas over-under would be set at 2, but I'm not sure if they'd win a single game.
All right, Hamilton.
Wow. So every single game, every shift, they're down 5-4, and then when they get penalties, it's 5-3?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even think of that part. Yeah.
They wouldn't win a game.
Biz? Wait. Yeah, there's no way. No.
Well, even just say 5-4, just like hypothetically, because it's obviously is a fucking...
No, they wouldn't win a game. Oh, you're on the power play the whole fucking game.
Yeah,
like
no
that.
Way. Yeah.
Like Greg. Was it Greg?
Greg, yeah.
Greg. Well, he
Greg
did. Goldman.
Greg was probably just so stoned one night. He's like, "Oh, this question, man, it's going to crush it on chiclets, man."
In his defense, he only set the over-under at 2. It's not like he said 12.5. I mean, you know.
I know, but still, that's like 2. You might as well say 50.
How fun would it be playing that team when like third line guys like, "I'm going to get a shift on the peepers tonight.
Stat night, boys."
I think honestly, though, if you took like the Red Wings of the 90s versus like the 91, 92 Senators, I think it might be a debate.
Yeah, but then we're we're changing years.
I know. That's a fucking hypothetical.
Or was it just a hypothetical?
No, just a pure hypothetical what the over-under in Vegas would be on that. And the guy, yeah, he said two games, like two wins. So it wasn't like he was thinking, like, oh, maybe, someone's going to stomp.
Maybe they would sneak one out, but I'm going to say no chance. You'd be so tired just killing every shift.
A better question would have been, like, if, like, a college team got to play in the NHL and they got they're on the game they're on the PP the whole game. How many games would they lose?
That would be a great question, actually. I don't know. It depends on if it's like Mercyhurst or fucking BU. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
By the way, people talk about, like, this just reminds me, killing penalties. Like, I was killing penalties at the beginning of my career, and I remember assistant coach in Pittsburgh at the time, Andre Savard. This guy was nuts. He came up to me, and he's like, Ryan, you know, sorry, we're not going to use you on the kill anymore. Like, he was talking to me, like, don't worry about it. I was so happy. I'm like, yes! I'm like, dude, you think I wanted to be out there killing penalties? It's miserable. You're getting clappers ripped at your feet. I was so bad at clearing the puck, dude. That was what killed me. I'd win the faceoff right back to me. I'd try to rip one around the glass. Would just stay on the ice. Guy would keep it in. Oh, my God.
I know.
By the way, Darnell Nurse in the series, go back and look at Game 3 of Anaheim-Edmonton. Darnell Nurse had the worst turnover in the history of this year's playoffs. He just rimmed it right around the boards, right to Getzlaff, who went in and sniped.
Yeah, Girardi had a bad buddy pass to the other team in that fucking Rangers game.
Oh, just a pizza?
He's a Welland boy. He's from home.
We'll drop that.
All right, Grinnelli, next question.
All right, so Sam Gruss asks, which player spent more time in front of the mirror before and after games?
All right, Hamilton.
Oh, man, I used to play with this guy named Chris Kalanos. He used to spend quite a bit of time in front of
him. I played with Special K, dude.
Yay.
this guy, I didn't mind. I never had an issue with many guys, but this guy rubbed the guys the wrong way. He's probably one of the worst guys ever, right?
It's funny. I didn't, like, dislike him either. I really, really didn't. But the way he kind of carried himself, guys were like, "Who?" Well, he was a high pick. He was nasty at Boston College. And then it just kind of, like, he never really turned into that, like, NHL scorer. And then he'd be in the AHL walking around like, dude, you're in the AHL. Like, you're not an NHL superstar, and you're carrying yourself like he wasn't even getting like 50 goals in the AHL. It was like that.
Nah.
He loved himself, the way he looked, though, in the mirror.
Do you have any special case stories? Do you have any stories?
You know what? I'm pissed off because I should.
Maybe that means you're the guy, Ryan.
I know. Maybe I was like the other Special K guy, Special Wit. I think Scuderi would have like a bunch. I just remember him like looking in the mirror and loving himself. NHL, I'm trying to think, like, dude, I remember I was like actually styling my hair before I'd go out for warmups with no helmet on. So I'm like, who am I to say anything?
I wear a helmet. I wasn't about that. I never like did my hair or anything.
You don't have, dude. You have black person hair. You don't have really hair you can style.
I know, that's true. but like I was never like I would sometimes go without a helmet, but for the most part, towards the end, ever since that Taylor Hall thing happened, I always put a helmet on after that.
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
But when he got stepped on or whatever,
yeah. That ruined no buckets, which is the best part of the NHL for like every team.
No bucky warmups. It's the best. Yeah.
It's the best part about the league.
Sheldon Surrey would see that guy being in the mirror a lot. I'm buddies with Sheldon, but he's always got the slick back going.
That guy's good looking as shit.
Yeah,
too.
He definitely looks like a guy who spent some time in front of the mirror before a game.
All right, what else we got?
All right, Juno Hockey asked, most embarrassing moment of you guys' careers.
All right, Hamilton.
Oh, man. Fuck.
On the ice?
On or off the ice. Either or.
Man.
Go ahead, Whit. I don't know. I got to think of one.
Have I told the story on this podcast when I buried Fleury skating back when we were down?
No. Mark Andre?
It was the game after. You can go look. We lost to Edmonton at home. It was when Therrien ripped on the team, this soft pussy defenseman, and he ripped on us. And then we got to Columbus the next night, and he ripped on us then in video. And then we gave up a goal in the first shift. We ended up losing 7-0 in the game. At one point in the game, it was probably like 5 or 4-0 at the time,
We're on the power play. Puck gets like dumped out of the zone, and I have like a bunch of speed, so I'm like looping into the offensive zone. It gets cleared. I'm flying back for the puck. I don't even know why I was going. Scuderi actually said you were going so fast by our bench to go get the puck. Fleury comes out to stop it. It was like somebody put a 2x4 right in front of me as I'm skating, flying into him. I just toe pick, go flying down. He tries to hop over me. He goes flying in the air and just I bury into the boards. He's out of the net, and some guy just came and I think stuffed one right into the open net. I was like, I came back to the bench and guys were legit. We were down like 6-0. Guys were legit just laughing, like trying to hide their face. I was like, oh my God, that was.
I don't know if I have anything like funny on the ice like that.
Do you ever get beat up bad?
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
Well, we already talked about that Jeremy Yablonsky used to pump me.
Just ripping steroids.
Yeah, I don't know about anything that embarrassing, guys. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
My most embarrassing moment was fucking the first 6 times they put me on the ice skating rink down Charlestown from the movie The Town. That was probably my, you know, with the fucking milk crate and all, face plant after face plant.
You were in that movie?
Oh, you just happened to ask? Oh, yeah. Matter of fact,
let me take out my gun and put it in my mouth now. Biz.
Yeah, I was an extra in The Town. I actually grew up in that town, too. Yeah, if you blink, you'll miss the reflection of my fat head in the mirror in the box.
You and all Yandel's uncles?
Oh wow, you're gonna go there.
They're from Charlestown.
No, he told me those are all like his uncles and stuff.
Yeah, no, I know Yandel's all his uncles pretty well too. But
legends.
Yeah, his uncle Paulie's the GOAT.
I had a really bad one time.
Oh yeah, I'd like to hear
I had really bad. I was banging this broad at center ice, right?
So I made the switch my senior year from forward to defense. You know, some of our defense got hurt. Team guy stepped up.
That's a team player, man.
Team player. So. You know, I was like a third line forward, though. I would have got buried. So, first game of the year, against Woburn, big game, huge game. And my buddy, you know, captain, says, looks at me and says, I'm going to win this face-off clean back to you. Get the shot on net. I have the whole crowd just ripping on me, ripping on my mom, ripping on my girlfriend.
Really?
Oh, digging into me.
Going after Grinnelli.
Yep. Wins it back. Completely fan on a slap shot. Kid walks in and scores. I didn't play the next few games.
That's all right, too. You'll always remember that moment of when the fans were ripping on you. That's still pretty cool.
Made me feel good about myself.
You know, fans don't boo nobodies.
Exactly. Derek Jeter / Ryan Whitney. All right, so the next one is Hockey A. Turner A. asks, do players ever pick out smokes in the stands like the miracle scene?
All right, Hamilton.
Oh,
for sure.
1,000%. I mean, any point you're benched in a game, like, and you're not going back out there, what else is there to do? You're looking in the stands. You're just like, oh, my God, look at over there. Oh, my God. I mean, I've seen guys, I'm not going to say who, I've seen guys like chuck pucks into the stands. I've also seen a guy get a note thrown to him from a rocket walking off the ice at Madison Square Garden with her number, just call me. And I was like, oh, my God, was that to me? No, it's to the other guy right behind you. So, I mean, that happens for sure.
Now, in baseball, like that, obviously, guys spy.
Oh, it's so easy.
Spy women. Now, what they'll do is they'll send a bat boy up there or, you know, one of the clubhouse boys. Now, what would a hockey player do in that situation? You see a rocket in the stands, you want to get her number or get a word to her. Is there somebody on the staff that you can send up there? Obviously, not an equipment guy.
Send Babcock up if you're on the Leafs.
About, like, a Pittsburgh goalie getting a blowjob in, like, the dressing room during a game.
Yes, I've always...
I don't want to say names because I don't know if it's true or not, but...
I'm pretty sure it's true. I'm not going to say names because I don't know the guy, but this man did... I don't... And it's not a current player. This guy was in Long Island at the Nassau Coliseum, and apparently he... You know, that's where it was. The goalie sat, like... Not on the bench. He was like over, like where you exit to go to the.
It might have been
one
of the cheerleaders, actually.
Yeah, and he just like, hey, yeah, there's a timeout here. Why don't we go back into the locker room and let me take my. He probably left his pads on, actually.
Are we sure it wasn't a pregame ritual?
It was.
No, that's Grinnelli's high school teammates.
Because the Islanders used to have like really cute ice girls, and I want to say it was one of the ice girls, and he brought her back, and.
Yeah,
during the game.
Man, it takes two to tango.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that stuff goes on in minor league baseball all the time.
I think it's almost a fact that Magic Johnson used to crush girls at halftime at the Great Western Forum. Like, I'm pretty sure that's like a known fact, actually. Pretty sure it's a known fact is an interesting sentence, but I'm going to go with it's a known fact. I am.
All right. Okay.
Perfect. I'll take it.
Interesting. Good answers from everybody.
And All Right Hamilton was brought to you by The Normal Brand. Do you ever walk into a store and think, who are these clothes made for? Preppy pink polos, ultra trendy shirts with disco patterns, and jackets made for climbing Mount Everest. I just want a normal shirt. Something that's not super preppy and ultra trendy. Insanely comfortable fabrics, great colors, you know, some subtle but significant details. These are clothes I actually want to wear every day. The ones that fit great and are super comfortable. So started by brothers in their parents' basement, these guys quit their miserable jobs to do something they loved. Make normal shirts. Thousands of guys around the country now wear them every day. So join the movement to create a better normal. They use incredible fabrics that pay attention to the little details, so when you put on these normal shirts for the first time, it feels like that favorite shirt you've had for years. They use knit blends and washed down woven fabrics to create that I want to wear this every day kind of feel. I wear the Normal Brand because, just like Barstool, it's for the common man. I like normal, comfortable shirts that doesn't look like I'm going out clubbing in them. I got myself a couple of Dolby shirts as well as a few polo shirts for the summer. So whether it's a button-down, polo, Henley, t-shirt, or hat, I'm wearing Normal Brand every day. So start your summer off looking and feeling good by picking up some new clothes at thenormalbrand.com. You'll get 15% off your order at thenormalbrand.com when you use our code Chicklets. That's thenormalbrand.com. Enter Chicklets for 15% off your order. The Normal Brand, a better normal shirt.
All right. So basically, Biz, what do you got going on now? You're recovering from surgery. You know, you had a, you know, some injuries this year. What's your future looking forward? Anything you've gone over yet? Or are you still mulling things over, or what?
No, I just, like I said, I just had. I tore my right ACL at the start of the year. I tried to rehab and come back. And my first game back, I tore my left MCL, ACL, and meniscus. So I just had surgery on that. And, I mean, that's probably why I'm such a bummer on the podcast today. I'm just marinating here in my bedroom.
It's all right.
I smell terrible. I got a piss bucket beside me. And I'm pretty pathetic right now.
Dude, post-surgery is the worst, man. Honestly, I mean, you know, you just got to chew on a couple perks, melt into the couch, and you'll feel better, buddy. I'm feeling for you right now, man.
I know. It was good talking to you guys. You know, it just cheered me up.
Honestly, Biz, thank you. I mean, we can hear it when you first called us, you know, that you're obviously a little under the weather with surgeries, and you're away out in the West Coast. So we can't thank you enough, particularly on this week, for coming on. You're a hockey guy.
Team guy.
You toughed it out. Hockey tough. Hashtag hockey guy. And we appreciate it immensely.
Okay, boys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Hang in there. You're the man, Biz. Next
time, I'll get you a Jolt Cola, before we start.
A Jolt Cola?
Oh, yeah. That was that.
R.A. had to bring up something from the 80s.
It was like 1980s Cola. I think it had like methamphetamine or something in it. It was like triple the caffeine of
liquid
regular
Coke.
Yeah.
But, all right, Biz. Listen, buddy. You're the man, dude.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish from the Retronauts Podcast, a show about classic video games. We're exploring gaming's history every week. We talk about classic video games and how the medium's past feeds into the industry and culture of today. Want to know more about the people who made Destiny? What's the story behind Mario? And yes, we even explain why they call it Final Fantasy when there's 15 of the things. From arcade classics to the latest retro releases, Retronauts covers it all. Subscribe to us on iTunes or right here on the Podcast One Network. Listening to Retronauts won't help you build your gamer score, but you'll rock at bar trivia.